Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I hope everybody's had a good week so far. Josh asked me to step in tonight. He was doing some inventory stuff. He did make it. Thank goodness he's here. He may regret being here after this message, but we'll see. But anyway, I hope you guys have had a good week. Before we get started, we do want to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Just pray for me that I'll be able to stay out of the way of this message. I'm a little bit nervous about it because it's probably not going to be easy to hear, but I think it's something that we all need to be focused on as Christians, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house tonight, Father, and to worship you and to be a part of what it is you'd have us to be a part of. Father, I just pray that you'd keep me out of the way of this message, Father, and deliver it through me and keep my words out of it, keep my thoughts out of it, and just give your message. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And as I was reading through these verses, as I was standing up here, God put something on my heart that I want to share before. I'm going to read the two verses first, and then we'll get to the message after that. We're in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. All right, now we all know what that verse is talking about, but I want to ask the question, God just pressed this in my heart. Does that verse say that I will make you rich? No. Does it say that I'll give you everything you ever wanted? That I'll make your life easy? No, it says, if you follow me, I'm going to put you to work. Okay, and that's what this is about tonight, right? Working for God. We all have been called to be fishers of men, right? Every one of us. And I want to read this again. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting the net. Now, every year, my family goes down to the Outer Banks to go on a fishing trip. Well, that's what me and the boys do. The girls just kind of lay around on the beach, and sometimes they'll go shopping or whatever. But we spend every day, except for one, we take one day, do something with the grandkids, go to the aquarium or do something. But every other day, we're fishing, all day, every day. And sometimes, Tyler, there's a bait fish called a mullet. And Tyler, he'll be my son-in-law come Saturday, he'll cast a net to catch those mullets so we don't have to pay for them. And it's amazing to see. I can't do it. I've tried, but I hadn't practiced. You know, that's something you got to practice. I'll throw myself into the ocean trying to do that. And there's different techniques. Tyler will kind of fold this thing up in his hand somehow or another, and he just casts it out using his arm. I actually saw a guy this year put part of it in his mouth. And I'm thinking, dude, do you realize where you just threw that net? But he'll put it in his mouth and then cast it out. And then I've seen people who will use it. Tyler uses a 6-foot net. And I've saw people who use a 15-foot net, and they'll wrap it around their body, and they'll spin their whole body to get this thing to cast out in a circle. Right, so there's different techniques that are used to cast it. But the purpose of that is to get it to cast out into a circle so that you get the widest range you can and capture as many fish as possible, right? There's also different techniques of how we witness to people. And we're not going to go into that tonight. You know, I have something that I prepared when we were doing Sunday school where, you know, I give examples of how I do that. And most of the time what I try to do is just switch the conversation around. We'll be having a conversation about, like, Alan just bought this car. This Nova that I keep telling him to drive so I can see. I'm going to have to go to his house, I guess, to see it. But, you know, to switch it around to be talking about God, whatever that conversation is, right? But whatever technique you use, God has called us to present the gospel. And one thing that we have to do as Christians in order to do that is we have to be willing to talk about sin. And it's not easy to do that. Most of us don't want to talk about, well, we don't mind talking about other people's sin, probably, right? But we don't want to talk about our own sin. But before somebody can get saved, what do they have to realize? They're sinners, right? We have to be willing to go up to people and do that. And we live in a world today where sin no longer exists. Pretty much doesn't exist in the world. Now, sin, the Bible calls sin, is still sin, regardless of what the world thinks. But the world thinks anything's on the table. I can do whatever I want to do. So it's hard to get out of your comfort zone and go knock on somebody's door that's living in that kind of sin. And we can name any amount of sin that we wanted to, but it's anything you want to name, it's out there. And as a witness, you're going to have to face that. You're going to have to be willing to be uncomfortable and make that. Who wants to? Somebody comes knocking on your door and your family standing behind you wants to talk about their alcoholism or their drug use or anything. Nobody. They're not going to want to do that. But as Christians, we have a responsibility to do that, each and every one of us. And the reason for this message, I read of course, when I go fishing, inevitably, when we're down there that week, I think about this verse, being fishermen of men. It comes to mind sometime during that week, I'll start thinking about this. But I read an article on why Christians don't witness. And in that article, it said that 2% of Christians, now I just looked last Sunday, we had 175 people here. That means 1.75 of those people have given the plan of salvation to somebody. Now, we might have an exceptional church here. We might have a larger percentage of that, but it's not 100%. And I've also heard that, and I think this is something that people use widely in churches, that 3% of the people in the church do 100% of the work, right? You know, whether that be children's church, the pastor, whatever the jobs that need to be done inside the church, about 3% of the people actually participate in that. The church, if we're going to have a revival in this nation, it's going to come because we've been witnesses, right? So let's go back to that net for a minute. That net has three parts. And if either one of those parts are missing, the net's not going to work. It has the net itself, right? It has weights that pull it down to the bottom real quickly and surrounds the fish. And it has a rope so you can pull it back. Either one of those parts is missing, the net's useless. So is our witness. When we're witnessing to people, now I understand, and I try to do this, and I don't always do it. Part of our witness is how we live in front of other people, how we react to bad situations, right? Because if we don't show that what we have is real, then the next step in that witnessing process is going to be useless. You can't go out into the world and live any way you want to, and that's one of the biggest complaints that I get from people that I'm witnessing to is, or sometimes even Christians, that I proclaim this, that once you're saved, right? And some other Christians will say, well, what you're saying is you can go out here and do whatever you want to. No, that's not what that means. And you get that also from people that you're witnessing to, that, you know, I can't do that, you have to be perfect and all this stuff. And that's not the case either, right? But like we talked about earlier, those three parts consist of, they have to understand that they're sinners. And that's not, guys, I'm telling you, I had a guy come up to me. He was a fellow Christian. He's a preacher, proclaims to be a preacher. I've never heard him preach. And I was at work. I'm a supervisor where I work, okay? So he calls me over to the line. And he says, hey, Shane, you're a Christian. He wants to know what the Bible says about homosexuality. And I'm thinking, Lord, here we are, you know, in the middle of the work, and I've got to, you know, now I'm obligated to give this guy, because he's asked me, yeah, and not only that, but transgenderism and all this stuff. And the first thing that came to my mind was to give him the verses about homosexuality, but the Lord changed that in my heart instantly. And I started going over with him the different sins that I'm guilty of, that I was guilty of before I got saved. And he started to agree, yeah, I've done those things too. So then it changed from the particular sin that he was involved in right then to that we all are guilty of some sort of sin in our lives. And I'll tell you the truth, I'm guilty of a sin right now today, right? I'm not perfect. I don't live a perfect life. I try very hard to be a good witness for the Lord. And because of him, I'm able to do that most of the time. It's nothing that I'm able to do, right? We all understand that. But sometimes there are times when I make mistakes at work. And I've told a story about threatening to beat a guy at work where his mama wouldn't recognize him because he drew back on me, right? I'm a Christian. And there's several people standing around to hear me say that. Well, guess what I have to do then? I have to go calm down. The next day I have to go back and apologize to everybody that was in that group of people that, hey, really, I just, you know, that flew out of me. I don't really mean that. I wouldn't, you know, hopefully I wouldn't ever do that to anybody. But, you know, sometimes you say things and do things that you shouldn't. And we have to understand that as Christians. And I always tell people, if you're not willing to talk about how you struggle, don't go out and tell people what they're guilty of, right? We have to, as Christians, be honest with people. If we're going to win them to Christ, we have to be honest with them to tell them that, hey, I still struggle. I'm a man just like everybody else is. The pastor, he does a wonderful job here, right? But he's still a man. And he has issues in his life that he has to address. And we all do. And I don't want anybody. And we'll turn over. Let me turn over here to, let's see, where am I supposed to be going? Luke chapter number 5 real quick. And give you guys chapter number 5 and verse number 8 is where we'll start. I can't believe I found that fast. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down. Now this is, Jesus has told him to cast her net on the other side of the ship, and they had a big haul. Okay? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, did Jesus, "Well, I didn't know that. Pull this boat back in the dock, let me get out of here. I can't be around a sinful man." Is that what he says? We'll find out. "For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the drought of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partakers with Simon. And Jesus said unto him, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt be catchers of men." So Jesus wasn't worried about the fault that was in Peter at that time, right? Because Jesus was going to radically change him, just like he did everybody in here that's a Christian. If you've not had a radical change in your life, go talk to God, okay? But he's going to radically change him. And he does not say that you might be a fisherman of men. He says, henceforth you shall be, okay? So to me, is that an option that God has given us? Huh? No. God is telling us, Jesus here is telling us, that is something that if we're Christians, we will do. Now again, I said that 2%, and that's a nationwide average, 2% of Christians actually witness, actually give the plan of salvation to somebody in their Christian life. And what I also read, and this is true for me, okay, that sometimes, and I'm hoping that God will unite the Holy Spirit inside of you to turn this church to a mindset of, I'm going to witness regardless of how much time I got. Peter said, "I'm a sinner," right? So am I, saved by the grace of God. And why God would choose that method to reveal himself to the world, I don't know. I don't understand how he thought that I, as a man, could present his son in a way that would be successful. I'm not responsible for who gets saved and who does not. I'm just responsible for giving that message of salvation. That's my job. Everybody can do that. But we have to be willing to get up. I don't care what ministry you're in. Josh has a great ministry here at the church. And as long as he don't start preaching out of the Vogue magazine or something, I'm going to stick with him, right? He uses the Holy Scripture to give his message. And that's what it should all be about, right? But he also has a responsibility, no matter what ministry you're in, to use it to spread the gospel. We have a great food pantry here, and those guys do great work inside that pantry. And this church is very supportive of that. They bring food. We got a full pantry. We can give that food out. But they've got to take that opportunity to present the gospel when those people come, or it's all for nothing. We need to feed hungry people. You know, I'll tell a story. We went into, me and two other guys, and I won't mention them. Some of you people here will know them. Went into a house, and this man told us that he had just fed his kids everything he had in the house, and he hadn't eaten nothing in 3 days. Now, what good is it doing us? And I got to be careful when I say that. But we presented the gospel to this man, right? Do you think he heard any of that? He was worried about how, and this changed me on the inside about how we go about what we, you know, being a witness. All he was worried about is, what am I going to feed my kids tomorrow? And do you think that any of us offered him any help that day as this holy Christian that I am, this man of God that I am, did I offer him any food that day? No. I went to my house and had plenty to eat. We've got to have a heart. Part of this ministry is to care about what people are going through. And I don't care. I know they're going to be in sin. I know that he probably spent, and you know, one of the guys said, well, he probably spent all his money on alcohol. That's fine, but them kids are still hungry. You know, that's our, Jesus Christ would not have walked out of that situation. You know, he talks about how, and I don't remember exactly where it's at, and I'm going to paraphrase it here, but he's had all these people around with him, and he's not going to send them away hungry. He's going to feed them, and he does that through a miracle, right? He turns the fishes and the bread and all that and performs a miracle to feed these people. So we have to have a heart for people who are struggling in this world. And that, you know, whatever sin they're in, we have to understand that it's a sin. We don't have to like that sin, but we've got to love that person in order to win them to Christ. That's where the revival that we all say we want is going to come from. We all have to get up and get out and witness to people. Every one of us. We have that responsibility. I think that's a commandment. Because he doesn't say, maybe, you might. Absolutely, this is what's going to happen. So please, you know, think about that. Think about where you're at in your life with your testimony. We go back to this net for a minute. And like I talked about, when they cast that net, he's not guaranteed that he's going to catch anything, right? He has to be observant. And he says he actually sees the fish, and then he'll cast the net, and he brings them in. Well, guess what? He might catch. That net's not discriminatory. We're fishing for mullet because mullet is what we use for cut bait. It's not discriminatory. It catches whatever is in that particular spot. That net's going to wrap it up if it's small enough to go in there. That's the same way this gospel is. It doesn't care. Jesus Christ does not care where I was at. Now, I'm not guilty of physical murder, but you know, the Bible talks about if we hate someone without just cause, we're just the same as murder, right? But I was guilty of everything you could be guilty of. And sometimes when we hear this word witness or evangelism, what do you think about when you hear that? Some of us think about this preacher on the street that's got this megaphone hollering and screaming and yelling and, you know, and telling people you're going to hell, and you know, and sometimes I don't agree with everything that some of those guys do. And to be honest with you, if I see one, I'm going across the street and up the other way because I don't want to have to deal with them, because most of them are not out there, you know. I don't want to say that. I know there's a lot of them out there that have, you know, a good intent in their heart, and they're trying to do it for God, and maybe they're just going about it the wrong way. But when I think about a witness, I don't think about that. You know what I think about? Terry Wall. The man that witnessed to me. And he was not a street preacher. Terry Wall is not a Bible scholar. And he didn't really know. All he knew was that I needed Jesus in my life. That's all he knew. And that's what he presented to me. And that's all it takes, guys. You don't have to be some biblical scholar or a pastor of a church or a Sunday school teacher to be a witness. Live your life the way you say you believe. And then, you, on top of that, you have to be willing to talk to people about sin and give them the plan of salvation. Like we talked about that, net had three parts. First part is you have to get them convinced that they're a sinner, they're lost, they're going to hell, right? And they owe a debt for that. The second part of that is that debt that you could not pay was paid by Jesus Christ through his crucifixion. And then his resurrection, thank God, proves all that out, because if Jesus Christ hadn't lived the life that he lived, hadn't died on that cross the way he did, and was raised again, none of it would matter. We'd be the same as all the other religions in the world. But Jesus Christ didn't stay in the ground. He got up, or stay in that cave. He got up. Amen. And he's alive today, and he's on the right hand of God. I've done a lot of research on different religions that claim to be, now this is not, you know, that claim to be Christian. Okay, that say they have the same beliefs that we do. And all the differences are Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of other little things in there, too, that are different. But the difference that separates them from us is Jesus Christ and what he did and who he was. You know, some of them, he was a good man. Some of them, he was a God. And you can become a God if you want to, right? That's not what the Scripture teaches. Plain and simple, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He died on a cross to pay a debt that you and I owed. Sometimes, you know, I got into a state where I was what we call as Christians backslidden. And I was destroyed. I was miserable. I just could not get things in my life to go the way they needed to go. It was a miserable time in my life. And one day it was just like God punched me in the gut. What are you doing? I saved you. And when that happened, when I had that realization that, and it, you know, it was a whole lot of things that, you know, I'd messed up, and I thought, well, man, I can't do this. Why am I even trying? You know, and so you get yourself talked out of, you know, the devil will get on those doubts. When you start having doubts, he'll get on them and jump on them, right? But when God spoke to me that day, it changed me to the point where I don't want to just be a Christian now. I want to serve him. I want to do whatever I can. I spent the last 10 years trying to do that. Now, you know, And again, I mess up and I don't witness every day and I don't always work. I don't read my Bible every day for an hour like I should, you know. But I try now to get out, up off my comfort zone, up off a pew, up out of the truck, whatever, and go out and do something for God. We all have a calling that God's put on our life. This is a requirement. I'm sorry. You know, I don't know. You guys know who William Booth is? Anybody? Well, I'm going to tell you. So William Booth is the guy, him and his wife started the Salvation Army, okay? And at one time, I think, in his lifetime, he saw that grew to over 1 million people inside his church. So William Booth was talking to an atheist one day. And this atheist told him, he said, if I was a Christian and I truly believed that every man, woman, and child was going to be judged and going to be sent to hell for their sins because they have not received forgiveness through Jesus Christ, I would crawl on my hands and knees, he was from England, all through London on broken glass to give the message of salvation. Now, when's the last time you gave the message of salvation to somebody? How many of you is willing to crawl through broken glass to give that message? That radically changed, that one conversation with atheists, radically changed this man's life. Now, I don't know a lot about the Salvation Army and all. I know he was a Methodist, and I don't know everything they believe, but I know they do a lot of work in the world today, and they do a lot of witnessing in the world today. That's what they believe in, right? And again, I don't know all their beliefs and all that stuff. I just thought that was, just reading on different people who started organizations and stuff and how God used different people in their life, sometimes people not even saved, to inspire these people to do great things. One thing that we also have to understand that I want Fellowship Baptist Church to grow to the point where we need to build a new building, right? I mean, that would be awesome. Just to fill up, just to have thousands of people in here. That would be awesome. But witnessing is not about building a church. If I want to build a church, I can put flyers out here and I can probably get people from other churches to come here. But that's not what this is about. This is about getting people saved, winning souls for God. And if they come to church here, good. If they don't, they go somewhere else, fine. Right? That's what we have to be focused on, is that person is going to hell. Guys, they are going to hell. This world is full of people going to hell, and we're not witnessing. I mean, I don't want to, if it hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. Like I told Danny earlier, if you don't like the message, blame him. If you don't understand it, blame me. Right? We as a church, and when I say church, I mean the Christian body, right? I'm not calling out Fellowship Baptist itself. Now, this is where I come to church, so of course, I want us to be radical when it comes to witnessing to people. I want everybody in this church to be willing to do whatever it takes to get that message out there. So let's go back to this casting the net for a minute, and I'll finish up here pretty soon, guys. Is casting the net. If I don't cast the net, am I going to catch anything? No. If I cast the net, am I guaranteed that I'm going to catch anything? No. It may come back empty, right? And you never know that who you're witnessing to at that time that God is drawing right then, right? Because that's where the salvation comes from. God is drawing them. But there's people out there, and I've told this before, when I was a kid growing up in the 80s, and if you didn't get to do that, I'm sorry. That was the greatest time in the history of the world to grow up, was in the 80s. You know, if you're too young for that or too old for that, I'm sorry. But we had an awesome childhood in the 80s, and we were very poor, but we still had a good childhood. Everyone that I knew had some idea about Jesus and who he was and what he did. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone I knew had accepted that, because I didn't until later in life. But we had some idea about that because there were people coming to the house all the time. Not Jehovah's Witnesses, believe it or not. Actual Christians coming to the house to witness to us and telling us about who Jesus was. And I had a grandfather that was, he would have been my great-grandfather who was a pastor of a church. And that shows you how quickly things can change. Here was my great-grandfather who was a pastor of a church. To me, who wasn't saved, didn't even go to church. But today, that is flipped. There's more people who don't know than do. And that's why the world's in the state. And we could get into, the end of times and things are going to get bad. I understand that. But Jesus didn't say, when things get bad, go home and lay down. Right? He's called us to go out into the world. And if we do that, guys, it could start right here in Ararat, North Carolina. The revival that I think the Lord has planned for us could start right here in Ararat, North Carolina. But each and every one of us have to be witnesses for God. We have to. He doesn't give us an option here. All right? So if I cast that net and we don't catch anything, guess what we've got to go do to get that mullet to use for bait? Got to go buy it, right? So some of you might be sitting here saying, well, I don't think I could really be a good witness. I'm just going to put some money in, and that's great. We need to support missionaries all we can. We need to support anybody that takes on that venture full time. This church needs to support that with everything we have in us, financially, with our time, with our prayer, everything that we have, right? But only 3% of you, according to this report that I read, gives anything to missions. 3% of us, right? That's a little bit better than what witnesses, but not a lot. And again, this church may be superior church in America as far as what we do. I don't know. I don't know what you do, you don't know what I do as far as helping financially with those types of things. But even if it's 10% of 175 people, well, that's what came last Sunday. I think we got 260 or something on as members here. You know, that's 10% of that's still, what, 17 people? 17.5 people? It's nothing. It's nothing. If every one of us, each and every person sitting here tonight, and people watching on Facebook Live that are Christians, would commit right now that I am going to do this every week, it'll change the world. It'll change this community to start with, right? That's what we're worried about. Is, I can't affect what's going on in Japan right now personally. But I can in Ararat, North Carolina. I can in Surrey County. I can in Stokes County. And, it can just grow and grow and grow and grow. When's the last time you was a witness? Right? And I'm not talking about how you live your life. That's important. But when's the last time you told somebody the plan of salvation? You got to do that, guys. All right. So we went to Luke 5:8. I talked about William Boot. Now I want to go over to Psalms real quick, and we'll be finished up here. It's, if I wrote it down or not. Did he get up? Yeah, 11:30. There you go. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. How do we become wise? Where's the wisdom come from? Jesus Christ, right? And if we're saved, if we're Christians, if we proclaim that, then we need to be winning souls. And again, we're not responsible for who does and who does not get saved, right? I don't know the people I've witnessed to. I know one person, did, but I don't know about the rest of them. And it's not my concern. Of course, I want everybody to get saved. But, once I've done that, once I've presented that gospel, whether they accept it or not, it's not up to me. Maybe God's not drawing them at that time, but they'll have that little seed inside of them for when he does. Now they know how to proceed, right? And it's like I said, no matter what ministry, if Josh preaches, and, I don't know why Josh picked me to do this tonight. It's not because I've got, a good-looking head for Facebook Live. He might think I'm pretty. You can ask him if he thinks I'm pretty or not. But, I don't know why God chooses each and every one of us for different missions that we have, right? The choir, I can't wait till we get these guys back up here. The music is a big part of my worship. It just blesses my soul. It gets my heart ready to receive the message that God's given Josh. I just love it. And we have some very talented singers in this church, right? Those people as well, God is using them, but he wants them to be witnesses as well, right? So no matter if you're the pastor, if you have the high seat in the church, and we don't want to look at somebody and think that Josh is better than us because he's a pastor, right? He's not. Like I said earlier, he is a man like the rest of us. But he has a great bit of responsibility. I guarantee you every Sunday there's somebody that says, boy, I wish he'd be more passionate when he preaches. And somebody else is saying, boy, I wish he'd calm down a little bit. Somebody else is saying, man, I wish he wouldn't preach as long. Somebody else will say, oh, good gracious, I wish he didn't preach no time today. There's all, you know, we're not going to make everybody happy. He's responsible to make God happy, amen, to do what God is having him to do. Same thing with each and every one of us. We can make any excuse that we want to make. I don't have time. I work third shift. You think, come home on Saturday, and where I'm working right now, which I'm changing jobs, we'll be going in on Sunday night. We go in on Monday night, and I have to work Friday night, get off on Saturday morning. And it's hard to get off and not go home and go to bed and try to do something for the Lord on Saturday. But I'm going to, right? Because God has said this is part of our responsibility to do that. Will you do it? Make your mind up tonight, today, that you're going to change your outlook on witnessing. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's each and every one of us's. Let's come together as a church and decide that that's what we're going to be. We're going to be witnesses. I know Bruce told me at one time his, what's the motorcycle club, Danny?
Christian Motorcycle.
Yeah, Christian Motorcycle Club would go to the Hell's Angels rallies and keep the kids out of all that mess and stuff that they, he told me one time that it was raining and he had to get underneath the tractor and trailer bed that was there to keep the kids out of the rain. That's awesome. Not everybody can do that though. I'm not going to a Hell's Angel rally because I'd probably be stabbed before I got out of there because I'd have, you know, this mouth would get me in trouble, right? So that's not part of what I can do. Again, all of us have to decide what that looks like, but it has to be, regardless of the technique. And we may do, when Sunday school starts back up, we'll go in more about techniques. I know Josh talks about his father always successfully used, if you died in the next 10 seconds, where would you go, heaven or hell? And that worked great for what they were doing. And I'm assuming in between that question, there were some, okay, you're a sinner and you're going to go to, you know, there's two places you can go, right? So there's different techniques that we can use. I don't care what that technique is. The message has to be, you're a sinner, you've got a debt you can't pay, you're going to go to hell unless you accept the gift of life through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. All right? So please, guys, let's make that decision. I will support you. I will support this church with everything in me. You know, as long as we keep going the way we're going, like I said, as long as Josh keeps using this and not the Vogue magazine, I will support you all I can. With financially, with my time, with my effort to help you, to help us become a church that gets out into the community and does that. And yes, that could be group visitation on Saturday, you know, like people used to do, come to my door, you know, and knock and talk about Jesus. And it could be what it has to be. What you have to do is be that fisherman in your personal life, day by day, minute by minute. Look for those opportunities. You're going to be in. I'm going to tell this before we quit. We had when I was working at ASMO in Statesville, we had a young lady that come to work for us, and the department that she went into, her lead man was an assistant supervisor, was a preacher. Okay. And then you had me. I was coming to church here at the time. And I'm trying to serve, and I was the assistant manager on the shift. Right? So she came in to work. She was there for 3 days. And she didn't come back. And I thought, well, maybe she quit. She died that next night of a drug overdose. We read about it in the paper. He came in and told me. And I asked him, when he told me that, I said, did you witness to her? He said, no, I didn't. I said, neither did I. Now, I don't know where she's at right now. Right. I don't know where her heart was, if she ever had that opportunity. But I know that God put her there for 3 days before she died. And a preacher, a pastor, not just a pastor of a church, never witnessed to her. A man that says, I'm going to do, God, you put me in the spot and I'm going to do what you have me do. Right? That's what I told myself. Never witnessed to her. She died 3 days later. I have to live with that. And again, I don't know where she's at. But she died of a drug overdose, so, you know. But, you know, people get into bad situations even after they get saved. All right, so just think about that, guys, that God may have put somebody in your life that needs to hear it. It's not going to be here much longer. You never know. You know, I may not be here tomorrow. I could get in an accident on the way home. You never know. So please don't forget that. Don't forget those people who are dying. And I know sometimes it's easy to focus on our family, but let's focus on that one that's way out there. You know, that's gone past. I've got a family member, I'll just say that, that's been in drug addiction for 20 years. I've got friends that I used to be in drug addiction with that are still in that addiction. I can't be around that because of the weaknesses that I have in my life. And I've told people who are close to those friends that still know that are Christians who are nearby that don't have those weaknesses that I do, please go witness to those people, right? Because I can't do it myself. And there's some situations that we don't need to get into, you know, depending on what your weaknesses are in your life. But God's put somebody in your life that needs to hear the testimony that you have. Please do that. All right. I'm done. I guess we'll close in a word of prayer. I'll do that because last time I did it, I had somebody else do it. You couldn't hear it on Facebook Live, I wasn't thinking. So we'll pray and be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house tonight, Father. I just pray that you will light the Spirit inside of us and give us the desire to go out into this world, Father, and to be on fire for you, to be that witness, to give people the plan of salvation that need to hear it and need to hear it from us individually. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for any benefit that comes out of that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.